Hello. Welcome to Healthy Perspectives, a podcast that takes on current cultural and social issues through a clinical lens. All right, all right. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate your time. And today I want to talk spontaneity. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be walking through it as I walk through it. I did that on purpose. A couple of reasons why. One is because this is something that is percolating inside of me as a therapist. It's one of these pieces that I've seen for years and years and years, and I've watched it play out, and I've watched the damage that it does, and I've watched the rewards that it creates, and I want to address it here right now with you with very little note-taking. I'm literally going to read you my notes here for a moment. The notes say spontaneity, open minds, catalyst for change, risks, reward. That's literally all I have written down. There is nothing more than that. I think I could probably, I don't know if you'll be able to see it. Nope, you're not going to be able to see it. But literally, that's all that I've got. All right, for those of you who are following on Rumble or YouTube, you'll be able to see me. Hey, how's it going? Those of you who are not, please jump over and check us out at some point. Get familiar with the face. That is Jeremiah with Healthy Perspectives. And please like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. But spontaneity is a very interesting topic to me. I want to start with a premise that spontaneity is very important in a relationship. That's the premise. It's very important in a relationship. And the more I see this play out, the more I think I'm beginning to understand. Look, I don't, just because I study this kind of stuff doesn't mean I claim to have all the answers for you all along. I am a counselor and I was a person long before I was a therapist. And so, the idea of having things that are intriguing to us, it's no different whether you're a counselor, whether you're an accountant or a pastor or a gadget maker. I don't really care what your profession. If you are driven and excited about your profession in general, you will have those moments of like, wait a minute, this is catchy. There's something about this that is a thing. How do I make this more efficient? How do I make this better? Whatever the case might be. And for me, spontaneity is kind of the thing of the moment. I've gone through many, many things, so I'm not going to get so high on this that, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, spontaneity is the best thing in the whole wide world, because that's not what I'm going to say here. But I do think it's an integral part of relationship development, growth. It is an integral part of success in any kind of relationship, whether that's a friendship, a romantic partner, a father, daughter, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, son, kind of relationship, any relationship, your relationship with your grandpa and grandma, probably to some degree depend on spontaneity. Let's talk about why it's such an integral part. Spontaneity inherently keeps open-mindedness. When we don't know if there's going to be a surprise around the corner, there's this little, I mean, look, for some of you, you are very rigid people. You have taught yourself how to live very rigid lives. And this probably terrifies you to think about spontaneity. But without it, I would suggest your mind closes to things that it shouldn't close to. And relationally, it's kind of like putting a stoplight in at an intersection. It's great by design because it creates safety in that intersection. But what happens if, because of the stoplight, you never went through the intersection? You never proceeded beyond that. You would only know what's on this side of an intersection because you've never gone to the other side of the intersection. Now, does that mean that you should spontaneously break every boundary and every rule? No, absolutely not. But exploring spontaneity in a relationship gives opportunity for you to learn how each other grow, change, develop over time. And that is a really important piece. Now, I'm going to get to the risks and rewards because I do want to get there. But I want to start with spontaneity encourages open-mindedness. Until it harms or hurts somebody, and then it sort of creates a closed-mindedness. So how are we going to balance that? I'm not sure yet because my notes are almost done. They're almost over. But let's just venture down the path. You're gonna think like a therapist for a few minutes if you follow along at least. Let's start with the open-mindedness. That is good. We know that being open to new information helps us to do better in our lives. That doesn't mean we accept all new information that comes. Sometimes we have to set boundaries and stuff like that. But openness to new information isn't a problem. It can become a problem if we accept certain kinds of new information. So what I would suggest to you that spontaneity is a catalyst. This is that second note that I told you about, is a catalyst for change. Meaning, when something surprises you, or you intentionally surprise a person you're in a relationship with, you show up at their house with a gift, and you know they're like, "Whoa, hey, I didn't expect a gift. I didn't know I meant enough for you to go to the store and get this thing and bring it over to my house." But when you surprise them with something like that, it creates this wow moment. And sometimes that's frightening. I get that. But oftentimes, it's what makes you want to dive deeper, to say, what is it about this person that they're taking to me? Why would they take to me like this? And that kind of a question creates a whole world of possibilities, open-mindedness. Without that kind of opportunity, we don't create these blank slates, these territories where freedom is really present. And I think it could harm relationships by doing that. So we want to be helpful to relationships. So we use the catalyst for change. We use spontaneity as one of those tools. I'll give you an example. I went for a drive just the other day, just yesterday, actually. And we missed a turn. And my wife and I, we look at each other and we say, well, let's just keep going. That was a spontaneous moment for both of us. We discovered where we thought we were, we might run into a limitation. We discovered there wasn't a limitation. And then the question became, where are we going to go then? Well, we're still going to go to the same place. We're just going to take a different route. Oh, well, what's on this route? And we began to have conversation. We opened our minds to the possibility that the plan wasn't going to work out perfectly because we missed a turn. And we could have turned around. We could have gone back. But spontaneously, we decided, well, let's just stay this course. And it's no big deal. It's no big deal at all. I mean, it's a little out of the way. I mean, you know, we could have gotten all wrapped up in the, oh, I can't believe we missed the turn. Or it's going to cost this much more in gas. Or da-da-da. I mean, we could have come up with so many reasons to ruin the spontaneity. But we didn't. We ended up at a beautiful waterfall. We ended up, it was a different adventure than we had anticipated, but still fantastic. Now, they're not all going to be like that. That's where we're going to get into the risk-reward conversation. We took a risk. And in this particular situation, the reward was a good payoff. We hung out at a waterfall. We walked along logs. We got got great pictures with our kids. Like, it was good. But sometimes we take that risk and it bites us. In other words, what we find out is a place that we didn't want to be. Now, I'd propose to you, that's good information to have. That's really good information to have. Being in an open mind, look, spontaneity encourages open-mindedness. If we're not attached to a particular outcome, like one specific outcome, all of a sudden, the outcome that comes tells us maybe we like this, maybe we don't. It's not about it didn't work the way it was supposed to or it worked exactly how it was supposed to. It takes away that the whole idea of I'm going to control everything that I can. Spontaneity says, let's let control go in the areas where we don't need control. Now, obviously, if we didn't have the money or the time, or, you know, if there was a road that was blocked where we were going, we would have turned back and we would have been like, huh, oh, well. I mean, the other option would have been to complain, whine, bicker, like, be disgruntled. That would be an option. But when we're not attached to a particular outcome, the disgruntled nature of lack of control essentially takes us down a path where we don't typically decide to get disgruntled and angry or frustrated or irritated, because we're taking it as it comes. We live more in the moment. Now, I know you can't always do this, but I pose this question to somebody. How could you be more spontaneous at work? And they said something along the lines of, I could bring donuts to the office. Okay. I mean, there's some spontaneity in that for sure. How else can you be spontaneous? Look, we could do all kinds of things. Some people are like, well, at my place of employment, it's such a professional environment. You know, we don't really have a lot of space and room for spontaneity. I think you're not correct. I know that was pretty bold of me, but I think you're not correct. I said to this person, I said, so if you had a surgeon that was getting ready to do surgery, and it was like a big surgery, an important surgery, how much spontaneity do you want in that room? Well, probably none. Well, maybe, maybe not. If spontaneity is a matter of mindset rather than the rigidity of, I have a plan, we're going to go from A to B to C to D to E, F, G, H, I, J, and we're just going to go through the alphabet, all of them. We're going to hit every single one. But instead, I was open to the idea of, well, even though I've got to hit A and B and C and D and E and F and G and da, 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 even though those need to happen, say like in a surgery room, how they happen impacts everything about the situation. I'm going to be honest. If I had a surgeon who was a funny guy or a girl, or I had a surgeon who really liked music, it helped them focus and work, I sure as heck want them bringing that into the operating room. Please bring it in. Because if you're more comfortable, the chance of successfully navigating from A to B to C to D to E, all those surgical steps, goes up. If you're miserable because you're so rigid, I have a problem with that. I don't want miserable people cutting my body open. And it opened up the mind a little bit to explore, wait a minute, what are the real risks of spontaneity, or what are the risks of not having any spontaneity? Which one do you think you would pick? Would you pick somebody who has no spontaneity whatsoever for a relationship, or somebody that has some spontaneity in there? Now, spontaneity doesn't mean that you have to not plan anything. It just means throw in some quirky things, change up the music, throw out an interesting conversation, try something behaviorally different, engage the new response. You all grew up being spontaneous. This is part of the reason why I think it's a critical element. It's not by any means going to be the game changer, but I think it can be a game changer. You all grew up being spontaneous. When you were on the playground and you ran up to somebody and you said, "Hey, want to play?" Was that spontaneous? Sure sounds like it. "Hey, how about we change the rules in this game? How about we do this and then that instead?" "All right, we can give it a try." Spontaneous. You notice how it created open minds. That's why when you were a kid, you probably created all kinds of games that you couldn't create today. You have forced, potentially, not everybody, but many adults literally have forced out the open-minded nature that we have. The creativity of thinking beyond what we know into the what would happen if. Is it possible to? Could we? I don't know. Could we? And I think if you reintroduce this in pieces with the challenge, this is the interesting part, from my opinion, as a clinician, this is a challenge to look for things that you're not sure how they would respond. You genuinely don't know, and you are genuinely curious how they would respond to something. And approach it as if maybe failing is the purpose. Not that we want to fail on purpose, there's a big difference, but working to those boundaries is good information for us to have relationally. And if we don't find the boundaries, then maybe the boundary isn't there. Maybe that spontaneous endeavor could create a new facet to your relationship. And this could be in any way. It could be exploring food, music. It could be exploring the outdoors. It could be anything, including, for those of you who are in romantic relationships, in the bedroom. You don't know if you don't offer up an option that hasn't been offered. And let's be real, in every area of our life, all of them, we grow, we shift, we change over time. So what once was a boundary, now I'm not saying push each other's boundaries, but once was a boundary may have shifted and may not be a boundary anymore. Where once holding somebody's hand in the hallway was a boundary, now holding somebody's hand anywhere you go in public is not a boundary. You see, we shift. We grow, we mature, we change over time. And the only way to find out where those changes are, be spontaneous. Well, it's not the only way, but it's a good way. Be spontaneous. And if you're not sure and you want to test it out, you can test it out without doing any harm. You just got to balance the risks and rewards. If there's something you want to try in a relationship, say, I think maybe you'll like roses now. That's pretty low risk. Get a rose, take it home. They like it or they don't. You know I don't like roses. I do. But I was just seeing if you had shifted, seeing if you like them now. Oh, still don't like them. Got it. Maybe I'll check again in 10 years. Maybe you'll like them then. In small doses, spontaneity can be a very beneficial thing, I believe. So here's what I want you to do. My takeaway is test it out. Give me feedback. I would love to hear from you about spontaneity. I want to know where it has succeeded wildly, failed miserably, everything in between. Help me figure out exactly how significant spontaneity is within the realm of relationships. And by relationships, I mean friendships. I mean parent-child, grandparent, grandchild, romantic relationships. It doesn't matter. I want to know how spontaneity has played a part in your story. And if you want to help me out, I may be able to use some of that as content in the future. And we can help the discussion go a little further. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate your time. I appreciate you allowing me the opportunity to spontaneously deal with spontaneity, which is kind of weird. My notes are still very small. But I did go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. Hopefully it was helpful still. Please like, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate our audience a lot, so we give you some simple ways to track us down. Please like, subscribe, and follow all the podcasts on different platforms, but you can also email us at healthyperspectives@protonmail.com, or you can check out our website at healthy-perspectives.com/podcast. It's a backward slash. So if you want to go to our landing page, if you go to healthy-perspectives.com, you'll still find us. You just got to click on the podcast button. Thank you so much.